Hi, I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. In this episode, we'll be taking a look at Spring-Heeled Jack, a monster who terrorised the women of 19th century London, decades before the other monstrous Jack stalked the streets. In 1837, London was in the grip of a particularly vicious winter. Chunks of ice drifted down the Thames, while in some parts of the city, the river had frozen completely. As often happens in the depths of the winter darkness, stories arose. Rumours of a ghostly figure sprung up, starting in the suburbs of South London, but quickly spreading throughout the capital, and eventually, the country. At first, the strange figure stalking the streets was known as the suburban ghost. He was said to appear as a white bull, or bear, terrorising people in the streets at night. Soon, he transformed into the figure we recognise today. Jack became a fearful figure throughout London, his ability to leap over high walls as though he had springs in his boots, allowing him to escape easily after attacking his victims. In October of 1837, Mary Stevens was walking up to her lodgings in Lavender Hill after visiting her family in Battersea. As she was walking through Clapham Common, a man leapt out at her from the shadows and assaulted her. Mary fought him, but the man gripped her tight, trying to kiss her and slashing at her clothes with cold, sharp fingers that seemed almost like claws. She screamed, and the doors of the nearby houses were quickly flung open as people rushed into the streets to help her. But the attacker fled, seeming to vanish into thin air. The day after his attack on Mary, Spring-Heeled Jack appeared again. This time, the bizarre creature leapt out in front of a carriage, causing the coach driver to lose control of the horses and resulting in a serious accident. Passers-by reported that the criminal burst out in a high-pitched, maniacal laughter before leaping over a 9-foot wall, easily escaping the clutches of angry bystanders. The threat of being attacked by Spring-Heeled Jack on a dark street quickly began to feel like a very real concern to the people of London and the surrounding area. The Lord Mayor received an anonymous letter of complaint, claiming that the attacks had been carried out as the result of a bet, and stating that 7 women had been frightened out of their wits by the appearance of the devilish character. Before long, the press began to report on the encounters, fanning the flames of the panic, and consolidating various rumours into a narrative. More and more reports of attacks emerged, with one report even claiming that several people had died of fright following an attack. The Penny Dreadfuls wrote about his exploits in lurid detail, embellishing and even inventing elements which became mingled with the stated facts in the public imagination. In some Punch and Judy shows, the devil was even renamed Spring-Heeled Jack. Jack was said to wear a tight-fitting white bodysuit with a billowing black cloak and a helmet, or alternately, glowing fiery eyes. The clawed hands were a persistent aspect, as were the tall, heeled boots which allowed him to make those superhuman leaps over the walls. In some reports, he was tall and thin with the appearance of a gentleman, until he breathed a jet of blue and white fire, causing his victims to recoil in horror. On the night of February the 19th, Jane Allsop heard a frantic knocking at the door. She opened it to find a cloaked figure standing there, partially hidden in the shadows. In an urgent tone, he told her that he was a policeman and told her to quickly bring him a light, stating that, "We have caught Spring-Heeled Jack here in the lane." Jane rushed to fetch a lit candle and dashed down the steps into the darkness outside. As soon as she handed the policeman the candle, she realised that something was wrong. There was nobody else in the lane. She was alone with the man, who suddenly threw his cloak aside to reveal a tight white outfit, opening his mouth and belching a stream of pale flames. His eyes blazed like red balls of fire as he grabbed at her with sharp metallic claws, tearing at her dress and her skin. Jane screamed at the top of her lungs as she fought her way free from the monster, turning to run back inside the house. But as she fled up the steps, he caught hold of her again, slashing at her neck and her arms with those terrible claws. Just then one of her sisters appeared in the doorway and the attacker fled, leaving Jane shaken and wounded, but alive. Just 8 days later, Lucy Scales and her sister were on their way home from their brother's house. As they passed an alley, a tall, thin man in a cloak stepped out from the shadows and blew a jet of blue flame directly at Lucy's face, temporarily blinding her. She screamed, falling to the ground, and began to convulse violently. While her sister knelt at her side, the man walked off quickly and disappeared into the crowd. Hearing his sister's screams, their brother rushed to the scene but did not see Lucy's attacker. The police questioned several suspects, but the man was never found. As time went by, attacks attributed to Spring-Heeled Jack became less frequent, but began to spread further afield. In 1843, he was spotted in Northamptonshire and described as the very image of the devil himself, with horns and eyes of flame. In East Anglia, he was said to have frequently attacked the drivers of mail coaches. In the early 1870s, there was another spate of sightings, this time based in both his old stamping ground of Peckham and further north in Sheffield. Then, in 1877, Jack terrorised a group of soldiers at the army barracks in Aldershot. He emerged from the darkness, advancing on a sentry and slapping him round the face several times. A guard shot at the intruder, but he either missed or the bullets had no effect. The strange figure then bounded off, disappearing into the darkness with a huge leap. The entire barracks flew into a panic, and sentries were instructed to shoot the mystery man on sight, but he never returned. Later in 1877, Spring-Heeled Jack was also spotted in Lincoln, reportedly wearing a sheepskin. He was chased by a furious mob and seemingly cornered, but when members of the mob shot at him, the bullets seemed to have no effect, just like at the barracks. He was able to leap over a high wall and once again vanish into the night. Theories about Spring-Heeled Jack are varied, ranging from simple, straightforward solutions to more fantastical concepts. It's fairly safe to say that someone was dressing up and attacking people, with the superhuman leaps and ability to breathe fire being the sort of exaggerated details which would be added in the process of retelling an urban legend. The difference in appearance and attack technique strongly suggests a number of copycats inspired by initial sightings, especially as incidents were reported for as long as 50 years after the first sighting. A persistent rumour at the time accused an Irish nobleman, the Marquis of Waterford, of being the original Spring-Heeled Jack. Known as the Mad Marquis, he was often in the news for fighting, drinking and vandalism, and was renowned for his terrible attitude towards women. He was in London at the time of the first attacks, and is a strong contender for the metal-clawed fiend who emerged from the darkness in order to rip at the clothes and flesh of young women. Other, somewhat less likely culprits have also been suggested. Some have floated the idea that Spring-Heeled Jack's superhuman abilities and strange appearance may point to him being an alien, due to his ability to breathe fire, his glowing red eyes, and his ability to make leaps suggestive of a physiology which has developed on a planet with higher gravity. This particular theory seems a bit out of this world to me. In a similar vein, some have suggested that Jack was a demon, called up from his demonic realm into the streets of London by some evildoer with a penchant for the occult. I can see how supernatural and extraterrestrial origins appeal to some people. After all, Spring-Heeled Jack's leaps would break the ankles of any human who attempted them. However, I'm more inclined to chalk up these astounding abilities as resulting from good old exaggeration and our very human nature to want to tell a compelling story. And he certainly did become one of London's best-known urban legends. For decades afterwards, parents would tell their kids that if they didn't behave, Spring-Heeled Jack would jump up and look through their bedroom windows at night. After the 1880s, sightings up and down the UK became less and less frequent. The east coast of America, however, was a different story. In the depths of winter, 1885, something strange started to happen in the town of Elizabeth, New Jersey. Almost every night, the townsfolk were terrorized by a tall figure clad all in white, whose flaming red eyes burned through the darkness as he leapt over walls 12 feet high, scaling buildings with ease, and chasing local girls with his long, bony arms outstretched. Witnesses suggested that the creature must move with the aid of springs or wires, and on a number of occasions he was said to have caught hold of terrified young women and kissed them. Then, just as suddenly as they had started, the sightings stopped. It seems most likely that these reports of the monster's amazing abilities were once again exaggerated, and with the town whipped up into a panic, the attacker had stopped, fearing that he would be caught and punished. But maybe, just maybe, Spring-Heeled Jack really had emigrated to America. Incidentally, the other monstrous Jack who stalked London streets is believed by some people to have escaped the clutches of the law by returning to America and carrying on his work as the serial killer H.H. Holmes, he of the elaborate murder castle. An unlikely hypothesis, but one which has recently been put forward by one of Holmes' descendants. Personally, I would have thought that being related to one horrific serial killer was bad enough, but Mr. Mudgett seems to want to claim Jack the Ripper's crimes for his recently exhumed ancestor as well. This suggestion just doesn't line up for me. Neither the timelines nor the MOs fit. But the idea has caught the imagination of a number of people. After all, if Holmes truly was Jack the Ripper, it would mean that the Ripper had eventually met with some kind of justice. Holmes was executed in 1896. As for Spring-Heeled Jack, he is no longer the focus of the stories we tell each other on dark nights, pushed aside by more modern terrors. The bloody hook embedded in the car door, the persistent dripping noise in the bathroom, the call coming from inside the house. But he still continues to intrigue us as a mysterious reminder of days gone by, and he occasionally still appears in literature, TV, and even video games. In a world where most streets are constantly monitored by CCTV cameras, there isn't much space for a creature with flaming eyes and metallic claws. But one aspect of Spring-Heeled Jack was affecting us for long before he came on the scene, and unfortunately, will probably never go away. Being attacked by a stranger on a dark night is a possibility that scares us all. You don't have to breathe fire and leap over 10-foot-high walls to be a monster. Thank you for listening to Oddity. You can follow at Oddity Podcast on Twitter. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next week for another journey into the strange and unexplained.